If you'd like to open your Bibles up to the book of Romans, chapter 1. Romans 1 this morning. Preaching from verses 17 through 23 in a message we're calling today, No Excuse for Ignorance. No excuse for ignorance. I'm grateful you're here today. Let's do something that we've not done in a while. Let's do some old-timey things here. Anybody got your Bible today? Hold it up. If you do, if it's on your phone, that's okay. All right. Praise the Lord. Aren't you grateful for this word this morning? I remember when I was little, we'd say, anybody got your Bible today? We'd hold it up. This is the gift of life, isn't it? This is the light under your path. I just want to affirm that for you this morning. There is no greater thing you possess in this world than this word right here. Okay? And it is good for reproof. It's good for instruction. And it will lead you in the darkest times. That's your little mini sermon right here at the beginning, all right? This morning, we're going back to Bible basics, talking about appreciating our word. And we're going to listen, sit at the feet of the Apostle Paul as he just begins to explain some important core concepts to the word of God. And we'll find in this message that there really is no excuse for ignorance, particularly for us Gentiles here. In the world, because this is primarily who he's speaking to. So if you will and you can and you're able and you found Romans chapter 1 verses 17 through 23, would you stand with me in honor of the reading of God's word? It says here in verse 17, "For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness. Because that which may be known of God is manifest in them, for God hath showed it unto them. For the invisible things of Him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even His eternal power and Godhead. So that they are without excuse. Because that when they knew God, they glorified Him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools, and changed the glory of the uncorruptible God into an image made like to corruptible man, and to birds, and to four-footed beasts, and creeping things." Let us pray. King Jesus, we come to you in this hour, and we humbly ask that you be here amongst us, that you minister, Lord, to our hearts, that you write this word upon them, and that God, that your Holy Ghost might be here amongst us, on me, Lord, giving me liberty to preach, but also, Lord, anointing the ears and the minds and the hearts of all who sit to listen. We pray, God, that your word would accomplish, Lord, its purpose in each of our lives, and that God, none of us might be able to walk out of this place without first being confronted, Lord, by the reality of our sin and the reality of our need for a Savior whose name is Jesus Christ. We love you, God. We give you the glory. We thank you now for how you're going to bless during this time of preaching. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. May God add His blessings to the reading of His word. I didn't have my introduction illustration for this message until about 6 o'clock last night, but it was just perfect. Many of you know my uncle, Terry McKinney, passed away earlier in the month last month, and it took a little while for his service to take place, but the service was yesterday. We got to go out yesterday to the Watauga Lake, have a little service there with friends and family on the dock side. And then when the service was completed, we boarded boats, about 7 different boats, and then we rowed out to a cove there near the dam. And upon the waters there, they scattered the ashes of my uncle because he loved that lake so much. And it was interesting, as our 7 boats proceeded to this specific place, and we kind of arranged ourselves and prepared for the moment where we would commit him to the waters. We happen to notice another little boat kind of putting along up closer to where we were gathered. And of course, it was Labor Day weekend. So I'm assuming some people were partaking in the enjoyment of the Labor Day weekend. And as they got closer to our boat, a fella in shorts and a tank top and a hat, you know, one of those boat hats, kind of waved out and said, "Y'all having a birthday party?" I said, "Y'all having a birthday party?" It's the opposite, actually. All right. And after someone explained that to him, I didn't know. He kind of floated away. And I thought that was so interesting. Obviously, we've all been in situations where ignorance has proven to be our undoing. Would you agree? You know, we don't mean any harm. It's not a situation where we're trying to hurt anybody or be inappropriate. Most of the time, we're just ignorant. Just ignorant. And when you're ignorant, I found myself saying this very same thing. I didn't know. I'm sorry. I didn't know. That guy didn't know we were having a funeral. It's a unique thing. You don't typically roll up on funerals in the middle of Watauga Lake. All right. You know, that's not, you know, so you can't hold it against him necessarily. He didn't know. It was his ignorance. And so I find myself contemplating and meditating on that idea. Well, you know, I didn't know. I just didn't know. And how many times in my life I've said those very same words? And how many times, you know, poor mama, I've told my poor mama that 100 times. You know, "Oh, I'm sorry, Mom, I didn't know. I didn't know. I didn't know." We hear that a lot in life. We say it a lot in life. And here's the thing, like I just explained a moment ago, ignorance sometimes is a valid reason for wrong behavior. We're raising Hazel today, and every day, all right, she's alive, we're trying to tell her, you know, what you should do and what you shouldn't do. And she, sometimes it's so amazing what toddlers get a hold of, right? They pick up on the things that you don't want them to remember, and it's like really hard to get them to understand the things that you desperately want them to remember, you know? And it's just a matter of ignorance. They're young. Their minds are still developing. And they don't even know enough to be able to express the concept, "Well, I'm sorry, I didn't know." They just don't know. They're just completely ignorant. And so I don't want to fully, this morning, condemn those for their ignorance. We just don't know sometimes. However, we do start to wonder when those claiming ignorance have no excuse to remain in that state. Have you ever heard the statement, "Well, you're old enough to know better"? You ever used that statement? Someone ever said it to you? Or I've been in there. All right. You know. These are true statements. Sometimes we're ignorant. Sometimes we don't know what we don't know. But you and I both also understand and can agree this morning there are instances in our lives where we do know better, right? And we don't have a reason for our ignorance. We've just chosen to disregard that knowledge and act the way that we want to act. And so I find myself in Scripture here arriving at a similar situation where the Apostle Paul tells us, explains to us in these verses, that there is no excuse for ignorance on some very important things. And I'm going to break that down this morning. I've only got 2 points that I want to try to exegete, Brother Ken, from this passage. And it begins with this idea. We didn't read this verse, but I'll read it just so that we all know the context here. Verse 16, we preached it last week. I felt the Lord's power greatly last week. We pray for a similar anointing this week. But it says in verse 16, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. For it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek." That's why he says in verse 17, "For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith. As it is written, the just shall live by faith." The presupposition, the initial starting place, in other words, that Paul is saying, is that every person on the face of the earth has the responsibility to acknowledge that there is a God in heaven. that He is truly alive, that He is the Creator and the ruler of all things. That knowledge, follow me here, church, this is so good. That knowledge in and of itself does not restore you into a right relationship with Him. The demons believe, the Bible says, and they tremble, but they're not in a right relationship with the Lord. It's the power of the gospel that Paul's not ashamed in that allows the just to live by faith. Right? And so we might know today there is a God, but that's different for surrendering to that concept. And so I want to explain that as best I can this morning through the Word of God here. And just really just, this is a warning. This is an exhortation. There is no reason, no excuse for ignorance here in this place today or anywhere else on the face of this earth. We begin, number one, out of two, one of two, looking at the evidence of God in verses 17 through 20. I love where verse 17 starts. Verse 17 starts with faith being the expectation. Paul's not ashamed of the gospel because he understands it's the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth. Through this gospel, God is proven good and righteous. As men and women recognize the evidence and choose to believe and have access to the gospel, God makes them just and saves them. It's the wonderful realization of the holy purpose of Scripture. Then these saints continue in a state of faith, the grace of God enabling and empowering their belief. I'm grateful. Let me just say this morning. I'm grateful this morning that I'm a Free Will Baptist. I love my brothers and sisters of other confessions. But I'm grateful that I'm a Free Will Baptist because I believe that when the Bible says that God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth, I believe that whosoever really truly does mean whosoever this morning, right? We are all under the same condemnation. As I'm going to explain here in a moment, the evidence of creation demonstrates ably, without a doubt, that there is a God. But it's the question of whether someone who hears the gospel will believe. Now, I'm with you. I believe that the Lord empowers that belief. I believe it's the Holy Ghost that the Lord gives us that calls us to conviction and that enables us to be saved. I believe all that, right? But I believe the assent of the intellectual mind is our choice to make, and it's given to everyone who will believe today. Amen? That's why I'm glad I'm a Free Will Baptist. We have the free will today to choose to believe, as Paul says here in the Scripture. But that belief is the choice that we must make. It is based on the gospel, but the evidence sets the stage for that faith. Church, I'll tell you this morning that faith is vital. It's vital that you have faith. It's vital that you're justified by grace through faith this morning. Because as Paul says here, everyone who does not believe will face the wrath of God. Now that's a terrible tragedy. Because as you and I well know, maybe you don't know this, maybe you're ignorant, but let me explain it to you very clearly right now. Jesus has already faced the wrath of God for you and for me. That's what He took on the cross for 6 hours, hanging between heaven and earth. That's what He went to the grave for, right? To face the wrath of God. And He paid it all. It is finished. The bill is done, right? And so it's a tragedy anytime one person, one soul, goes to a devil's hell because they don't have to go there. Christ has paid the price if they'll just believe. And so it's an important thing today that you and I acknowledge that faith is the difference by grace through faith in our eternal destination. Paul explains this in verse 18. He says in verse 18 that we need God's righteousness imputed through the atoning work of Jesus Christ to our account, because every one of us are sinners and worthy of the Lord's punishment. That's what he says here. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness. We know the truth through the gospel, but we're unrighteous. The difference is, will we believe? Now, many have a problem with this. This is, I would say, the number one contention that people have with the gospel of Jesus Christ. Are you telling me today that the only way to escape eternal damnation is by believing the gospel of Jesus Christ? Are you really standing on that? Is that what you're going to really hold? Boy, that seems pretty hard line. Boy, you know, that's pretty hard line. You know, it would be much more palatable. I love that word. Y'all know what palatable means? I use that word a lot. It's one of my favorite words. It means it tastes better in your mouth. Let's just say a real country-like, all right? You know, y'all ever had some grits and gravy? They call it salt. Is it sawmill grits? Is that what they call? Somebody tell me, is that a thing that exists? Sawmill gravy or sawmill grits? One or the other. Gravy, thank you. I've had some gravy that tastes like it's made out of the sawmill dust, all right? Is my point. All right? You ever get that kind of taste? That's unpalatable. All right? Rather have some of that good old gravy made by grandma in the kitchen. All right? That's much more palatable to us. And so when I talk about the idea of Christ and the gospel being the only way that men and women can reach heaven today, that is an unpalatable truth for this world. They don't want to hear it. I would rather hear someone say, well, you know what? We all have got our own journeys. We've all got our own paths we have to take. There's many roads. And you know, one road that leads to heaven for you might be a different road for me. You know, you may call upon the name of Buddha or Joseph Smith, or you may call upon the name of Muhammad, but it all leads to the same place. That's a much more palatable. Let's water it down even further. Well, it don't even really matter what you believe. You can be a generally good person. You can be, you know, not do any terrible crimes, any murders or anything like that. And, you know, when you die, you're a good person, you'll go to heaven. Isn't that a much more palatable message? That's what people want to hear. Like, y'all, we're quiet. And I appreciate y'all being quiet, because you're like, no, that ain't true. That's not true, because it's not. But it's palatable. Tastes better in their mouths. They'd rather have someone say that to them, the world would, than what I'm saying right now. Here's the reality, though. The Bible teaches us. The authority tells us. God's Word. And by the way, there's only one God. One Son, Jesus. One Holy Ghost. That is the gift of all saints. The Bible teaches us that if you do not believe, then you will face condemnation in hell. We don't like to hear that. That is not a palatable message, but it is the truth. And it's the reality. I'll go even further. Even in our own churches, I've heard, well, that seems unfair, Josh. That seems unfair. Are you telling me God would send to hell people who live in abject darkness? People who have never had an opportunity to hear the gospel? Do y'all know there are people in the world today? We just held our Bibles up earlier. There's people in the world today. Was it Alejandro? It was Alejandro. Y'all help me remember this. Wednesday, he said about 80% of people in France had never handled a Bible, had never even held a Bible in their hands. Are you telling me those people who have never heard the message of the gospel are going to go to a devil's hell? It was so unpalatable that the Catholic Church invented a new doctrine, a place called purgatory, so that if you die in your condemnation, but you just didn't have a chance to really believe, well, you'll go to purgatory and maybe the saints can help pray you out of there so that you can go in heaven and be there someday. That's a lie out of hell today. That's why we condemn the Catholic Church in that doctrine, because it's false. It's made up. It's a lie because it's palatable. I don't want to believe that my loved one's in hell today. Well, church, if you don't want to believe that, then you ought to get to work this morning so that your loved one won't have to go face a devil's hell. Because the reality is, whether they've heard the gospel or not, the evidence for the Lord stands, as Paul just explained. And so every person is a sinner. Every person is condemned to hell. And every person who dies without the righteousness of Jesus Christ imputed to their account will face eternity in the devil's hell. That's why we're serious about missions, church. Because we want people to hear the gospel so they have the opportunity to be saved. Unpalatable. They're not going to put me on the news tonight preaching that. All right? Listen to this hopeful message this preacher in Kingsport has. World don't want to hear it. Some, of course, who we're talking about will undoubtedly claim ignorance when they stand before the judgment seat of Christ. Well, Lord, I didn't know. I had no clue. And in fact, that's exactly what Jesus says they'll do in the book of Matthew at the end of chapter 25. When the Lord is separating the goats from the sheep, Jesus explains there will be some who will claim ignorance of the truth of the gospel. We didn't know. And to those, what is the Lord going to say? Depart from me, thou workers of iniquity. I never knew you. What Paul's trying to tell us, what Jesus is trying to tell us, what the Word is trying to tell us, ignorance is not a valid excuse. And he explains it in verse 19, because that which may be known of God is manifest in them, for God hath showed it unto them. Church, human history began with revelation. God, in the garden, made Adam. And then when Adam opened his eyes, you know who was there? The Lord. And the Lord said, "It is I who made you. And here's the purpose I made you for." And he made Eve, and he explained the same thing to her. And then he explained to the two of them what their purpose was on this earth. That's how human history began, with God clearly explaining to us why we're here. Now, of course, they failed. And with them, all of mankind failed. But the wonderful evidence remained. What we see here in verse 20, "For the invisible things of Him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even His eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse." Though man fail and the relationship with God was broken, the evidence of creation remains all around us today. You ever woken up in the morning, looked out your window, seen the sun rise over the mountains, and felt something? You ever been outside at night, turn off your car lights, your lantern, look up at the trillions of stars in the sky, more numerous, and unable to be counted than anything, and feel something? You know what that is? That's the evidence. Well, Pastor Josh, we know what resulted in all these things. You're ignorant, Pat. We know this all came about from a Big Bang, and it just kind of happened over billions and billions of innumerable years. And after all this time, eventually it all just kind of showed up. And then, a miracle of miracles. Something crawled out of the water, and it became, eventually, after billions and billions of years, became you and me, and we're just here now. Can I tell you something? For years, I've always believed what I believe, but you know, you can be oppressed by some things. The devil does things to oppress us in this world. And you know, I felt like, well, you know, I believe what the Bible says, but you know, maybe there is something. You know, I don't know. Yeah, I'm glad. I'm grateful that God's freed me from that ignorance. Because I'm going to tell you right now, all this stuff that man puts out, try to explain why we're here, it's a lie out of hell. This Big Bang theory, this evolution, young man, young woman, that they teach you in school, if you're there, it's a lie out of hell. And it is created by the devil to make you take the evidence that God's given us and assign it to something else. other than God. That's the devil at work today. Yeah, I'm preaching today that evolution, even in 2024, evolution and the Big Bang Theory, all lies out of hell. I don't care what evidence they think they've got for it. It is not what the Bible tells us today. And I, like Paul, am not ashamed. He wasn't ashamed of this, so I'm not going to be ashamed of it either. It's the truth. We are putting chains of ignorance around the wrists of our children in this society, and then we're expecting them to succeed in life, where their eyes and their heart can clearly see that there's something beyond all this magnificent creation. And that ought to suggest to them to seek out the true origin of it all. Pastor Josh, I mean, there's a lot of smart people that have bought into this, and they teach it and they share it, and we got all these fossil records and all this evidence and blah, blah, blah. Do you know what they come to at the very end, though? They come at the very end of all their theories and explanations. What did they come to? Well, there was nothing, and then somehow something came out of all of that. You know what we believe? There was nothing, but God was. And God made something out of that nothing. He spoke it into reality. So what's the difference? One's ignorant, and one is enlightened. May not be palatable today. But that's the truth, church. So there is evidence. God made this world. He's the creator. He's the origin of it. If we tell Him we know better, that's the creature telling the creator that we know better than the one who was there when it all started. Are you following me? Do you believe in God or not? That's the question. Do you believe in God or not? Well, if you believe in God, look at the evidence. He made it. Was it some random accident? The Bible tells us that His eternal power and all of His godly attributes are on display through creation. I'll end this first point with this. It's absurd for the evolutionist to complain that it's unthinkable for an admittedly unthinkable God to make everything out of nothing, and then pretend that it's more thinkable than nothing should turn itself into anything. It's nonsense. But that's what the devil wants you to believe today. What's really going on here is that since the fall, man's heart has been in rebellion against the true God. And it's only through the gospel of Jesus Christ that you and I can have peace. And so, the evidence is there. Whether you hear the gospel or not, you've still committed the rebellion. And thus, the light is rejected because men prefer the dark. Which leads us to number two, and finally, the error of unbelief. Paul explains here in verses 21 through 23 that there is no ignorance of God. There's no person on the face of this earth who can claim with all the evidence that there is no God. There is only an error. And that's the error of unbelief. The common sense observations of God through creation introduce men to God. But God, Paul tells us in verse 21 that they chose not to know Him. Verse 21, because that when they knew God, again, not through the gospel or Jesus Christ, but through the evidence of creation, when they knew God, they glorified Him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart darkened. They saw the evidence, but they chose not to glorify Him. They saw the evidence, but they chose not to thank Him for His gifts. They'll use what He gave them, but they won't attribute it to the one who made it and made it available. This is the error of unbelief. Instead, they vainly imagine other explanations for this world and allow their foolish hearts to be darkened. Let me just tell you, let's break it out. We're in the enlightened age of secularism where non-belief in God is the prevailing philosophy of the day. But before men were so wise to come up with that, do you know that they looked upon the heavens and the earth, and what did they do? They created for themselves other gods. That's what the Bible says in the very next verse. They worshiped the image of man
And then they went as far as to worship the image of the insects and the beasts and the birds. And again, it's just more and more evidence of their error. Because before we had this whole Big Bang, before we had this whole evolution, we had, well, hey, the sun is the god. Let's worship the sun. Oh, well, the sun's the god. Let's worship this other pantheon, and Zeus or Mars or any other god, the Hindu gods, the Egyptian gods. Gods upon gods have been worshipped, all trying to put into some sort of understanding of how we actually got here and arrived here, when at the end of the day, the truth is there's just one God. So, again, this is nothing new, what Darwin spout, what scientists today will tell you. It's nothing new. Mankind has been doing it since the beginning. Again, it's their imagination, their vain imaginations, that's allowed their foolish hearts to be darkened. And here's what happens. When people live in such a state, they're left without a true God. And they're so constituted that they're so created that they must worship something. If they won't worship the true God, then they'll worship a false God, even if that false God is themselves. And that's the true idol of our age today. Man exchanges the glory of God for substitute gods. He exchanges glory for shame, incorruption for corruption, truth for lies. They profess themselves to be wise, verse 22, but they become fools, and verse 23, and they change the glory of the uncorruptible God into an image made like corruptible man, into birds and four-footed beasts and creeping things. You know what Satan said? I'm getting close to the end, don't worry. I won't hold you long this week. You know what Satan said to Eve in Genesis chapter 3 when he was trying to get her to disobey the Lord? He said, if you eat that, ye shall be as gods. Well, that sounds pretty good. I'd like to be a god. She could not have imagined what that truly meant when she rebelled against God, when Adam rebelled against God. They exchanged the true God that they had seen with their own eyes for something far, far lesser. And I'm telling you today, young man, young woman, if there's anything that you're putting above God in your life right now, you're doing the exact same thing. You are taking the evidence of the uncorruptible God, you're assigning it to things that are corrupted, and it's going to lead to a life ultimately in hell if you don't escape from it. Church, we live in a spiritually dark age. There is much knowledge, but there's little, very little wisdom. It shouldn't be that way, but it's an error, a mistake that millions are making, and one from which they will never eternally recover. And we are seeing the final culmination of that as people are farther and farther away from God. Because it is a series of steps. Worshipping a false God is still acknowledging that there is a God. Are you following me? But then when you begin to say there is no God, you're further away. You follow me? That's why the Bible says things will wax worse and worse. We are getting further and further and further away. You mean to tell me, Pastor Josh, things were better 100 years ago, 150 years ago in this country? Yes, after a certain manner of speaking, because people acknowledged there was a God. And if you believe there's a God, the next step is to believe His gospel. But if you don't believe there's a God, we got a lot of error to undo. And you get further and further, and our society gets worse and worse. Church, there's an error of unbelief. The evidence should not allow us to make that error, but many are making it day after day. Here's how I'll close. You know, when I was trying to come up with a name for the sermon, my first inclination was no excuse for ignorance. But then you know what I thought? That sounds pretty mean. I don't want to hurt anybody's feelings. No excuse for ignorance? Boy, I'm holding people to a high standard. I need to take a look at that. But then you know what I did? I reread this scripture. And you know what the Lord pointed out in my mind? I mean, it's right here in black and white. Verse 20. For the invisible things of Him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even His eternal power and Godhead, so that they are not without excuse. It's literally what the Word's saying. There's no excuse for ignorance. Church, time and time again, if it's up to me, my standard will fall far short of what God expects. But when we are obedient to the Word, our standard will be where it should be, and that is God's standard. And the reality is, we have, as a church, as a spiritual people, given ground to this ignorance that is prevalent in the world. When people in America, oh man, in America, there's no excuse when somebody asks you, how do you get to heaven, for you not to have the answer. The answer is one name, Jesus Christ. No excuse for ignorance. And as much as we don't want to hurt somebody's feelings or alienate them or make them feel uncomfortable, a devil's hell is far more uncomfortable. And there are people today in that place who wish more than anything that they hadn't been deceived. It's not a kindness to indulge somebody's delusion. There are many delusions. I could preach all day. Y'all got to watch out. Pray right now. I don't do it. I could preach all day on the idea of a delusion. I'll just read the scripture. We're living in the days Paul wrote about in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 11. And for this cause, God shall send them strong delusion, that they should believe a lie, that they all might be damned who believe not the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness. And that's where it ultimately ends. Because here's the reality. The ultimate reason why we really have no excuse is because we prefer the ignorance in our natural heart. We'd rather do the evil things in our flesh. And we enjoy doing them. That's who we are. That's what Christ, if you're saved today, that's what Christ has freed you from. And if you're not saved today, that's what Christ can do for you right now, this very moment. And so, it's no kindness to kind of tiptoe around somebody and say, oh, well, you know, if you believe that, that's okay. Yeah. And love, brother, sister, that ain't right. Here's the truth. They may not like it. They may not like you. But I would rather tell them the truth than embolden them in their ignorance. Because I'm going to give account for that someday. Y'all know that? Or we're going to say, why didn't you tell them? Why didn't you make sure they hear the gospel? Let's pray. Father, we thank You for this day. What a place to end, Lord. But that's where we're going to end. Because the ball's in our court. Lord, the responsibility is now in our hands. The evidence is real. There is an error of unbelief. We're here as ambassador of Jesus Christ to correct the error. If we won't do that, if we indulge the error, if we allow the error to take prominence in our families, in our schools, in our country, well, actually, we'll be in the exact situation we're in right now. Because we allowed it to happen. There's no excuse. God, the gospel, as Paul said, is the power of salvation. That's why he wasn't ashamed. I preached last week that I'm not ashamed, but now, in this message, that's where the rubber meets the road. You can walk out of here last week jumping and screaming and shouting, yeah, I'm not ashamed! But the test of whether you truly believe that is what you do with this message. There's some ignorant people out there. They are enslaved to their error. Will we give them the hope of the gospel? Or will we allow them to continue in their unbelief? It's their choice at the end of the day. But God forbid any of us not give them the opportunity to believe. That's our role. That's our privilege. That's our burden. God help this church to be serious about helping the ignorant, about helping those who should know better. Help us, God, to believe it ourselves so that we won't be deceived. God, we love you. We give you the glory. We ask you now to empower us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. And amen.